Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
Sorry, I remember who he was. And welcome to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Making a welcome return to the studio. And on fine form was comedian and Southampton fan Paul McCaffrey. He's very good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he told us a top story.
He did, yeah.
Very good.
Very good story.
Kem Chetinay, who played in the last year's...
What? Soccer Aid.
It's Soccer Aid.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me
like
that?
Yeah. Kem said, your name is Kem from Love Island. You probably didn't even know his surname.
Okay. Anyway, came in and he talked about this year's UNICEF game.
Yeah, looking forward. It sounds good. You've got some top players playing again. They've got a league, an English league of competitive eating as well, which is fantastic. Yeah. We've waited a long time to have an English equivalent.
We had a good chat about competitive eating.
We certainly did.
And talking about that, you'll hear about a menu from 1617.
Yeah, all the zeitgeisty stuff. Andy found an old menu, a Tudor menu, 1617. So he'll talk us. It's not Tudor, is it, by that stage? It's not. It's just Charles.
Oh, all the TalkSport listeners all turning off now. You've got that historical
Charles
reference.
Is in. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's Stuart menu.
Mary Beard's just thrown her iPhone away.
A bit late for Mary, I think. She of an earlier. Anyway, yeah, I'm sorry about that. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Paul. I don't know if you read that piece in The Sun this morning. Handshakes are now out.
And you kind of bump elbows.
No. The new thing is you touch feet. It's a sort of touch foot greeting.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that if I bump into Ron Harris tonight. That'd be a disaster.
Doing non-handshakes, I was forced into that a couple of years back.
Oh, yeah, because
when
you
I
had
broke
the
my hand.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to get it operated on the end, it didn't happen, but it was quite a bad break down the bottom of my hand. It's kind of, when it gets a bit cold, I feel it, but apart from that, it sort of healed itself, really.
When it rains.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. You forget. This is the trouble, because it's such a muscle memory. You meet somebody and out goes the hand and you do it anyway. So that's going to be the case with this. But there were two instances when I forgot. One was the fine broadcaster, Eddie Nesto. I'd not met before, but I enjoyed his work and apparently listened to the show over the years.
Yeah, yeah.
And
nice.
So I meet him for the first time, and out goes the hand. Great. But I couldn't actually show that.
Very cruel of you, Eddie, if you're listening.
No, he didn't mean it. I don't think he even knew I had a broken hand.
He should have done.
I think he actually made the break worse. And then 2 days later, in the same thing, I was at an awards do. And it was Razor Ruddock was up there, and I just forgot. Out went the hand. That's not going to be a soft. He's not going to have a handshake like the Queen, is he?
Not really.
You just try not to show it, but it's like an electrical charge through your body. So all I'm saying is, whether your hand's broken or you're worried about the coronavirus, sometimes you just forget yourself.
I've shaken hands with the Queen. It's like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Do you think she's got one of those? She's one of those. Is it a bit like Trump? He pulls you in.
Yes, pulls you in.
So you're in the air territory.
So to last night's game, a few notes on that. I thought the first half was like a game in the EFL Trophy. It was like men against boys, really.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Portsmouth were right on top, and Harness was excellent in the first half. I was thinking though, what would he use to carry a baby around? It's amazing when you can't think of the word, isn't it?
Yeah,
I know.
True.
What can you do? And I was also thinking, I love Ian Dark as a commentator, football commentator, but I absolutely love him as a boxing commentator. I think he's the iconic. I put him up there with Harry Carpenter, and I'm really surprised that when BT get a big fight, no disrespect to whoever does it, I'm sure they do a brilliant job. I'll tell you in a minute, I was listening to our commentary in Argentina. But I do think Ian's one of the iconic boxing voices, so it's only my nothing to do with me, but if it was me, I'd definitely be using him.
He's nothing to do unless you're changing jobs. Do you want to tell us?
Well, funny enough,
head of boxing.
You should
BT.
Mention it. Funny, if talking of that, the company yesterday heard the stuff that I was talking about, the bloke I had to pretend to be, Gualtieri Hector Andres.
Yeah, that's right.
When I went to River Plate. And they really liked the sound of him. So I'm out,
really?
And Hector's in. Yeah, from next week on, it's Hawksby and Gualtieri. Oh, in from Cheltenham. And apparently he's very, very funny when River Plate lose. He's honestly, he's hysterical. And he does a great impression of the legendary Argentinian racing commentator, Miguel O'Herrera. Honey and Haido, Castlefort, Ethan Cafalto, y aquí viene Fornaven.
There we are.
Thank
this
you.
Is Andy Jacobs. Look him up, kids. Michael O'Hare, a brilliant, but sadly long past racing
even
commentator.
His son's older than me now.
Yeah. Andy, not. Every year we're in a room full of Irish people at Cheltenham, and Andy will say, I'll do my Michael O'Hare. The Irish love that. I'm thinking, I don't think they do. I don't think they massively do. And he said, maybe don't do it. So we're trying to have to talk him out every year.
When I was in listening to the big fight in Argentina and watching the local pictures from, I think, Fox Spanish Channel, whatever it is, and they were ahead. The pictures were ahead of our commentary, but I still wanted to hear it. But it was like watching...
Can you cue it up? Wasn't it on your swing box?
No, it wasn't that type of thing, no. Right. It was just on the local telly.
Okay.
It was like watching boxing with Stuart Pearce in Brazil.
These are all very in, these references.
Well, I like them.
You've got to keep up. Yeah.
Let's hope people can.
Yeah.
And, well, if you could explain what happened with Stuart Pearce, it was worth recounting.
again?
Well, you can't have it both ways. Okay. Either people know what we're talking about.
It was 6 years ago at the World Cup. Stuart was co-commentating on the game. We were hearing Stuart. I mean, he wasn't co-commentating. He was listening to our...
He was our summariser.
He wasn't our summariser. He was sitting in the living room with us.
I think they were asking him for views.
But he was hearing stuff coming down the line sooner than the pictures.
We were seeing it, yeah.
So suddenly, we're watching the game. We're on tenterhooks when we're England in the World Cup. And then suddenly, we hear this voice go, goal. And like the ball's still in, midfield. 5 seconds later, ball crashes in. Oh, yeah, cheers, Stuart. Sorry, boys, he says. Next... 10, 15 minutes later. Goal.
Let's be
Stuart,
honest.
You say, stop it.
You say it 6 years later, but whenever we see Stuart or him, we both go, goal.
Goal. He did us.
Anyway, perfect callers. Should we do perfect callers?
Oh, yeah, now, I don't know where this came from. We were just chatting in the office earlier on.
We were getting a guest from on the Reading game tonight.
Oh, that's right.
So it started off, we couldn't find anybody. What about Otis in Reading?
Otis in Reading. He'd be great to tell us how Mark Bowen's
Hello,
done.
Adrian. I'm not getting any respect.
Yeah. Where are you calling me from? Well, you can imagine, man. Down on the dock at the bay, and I'm not standing up.
Then we came out with Don in Henley. That was the producer.
They all
John.
Seem to be musicians.
Yeah,
don't
Don
they?
In. Hello, Adrian. Don in Henley here, taking it easy.
Yeah, been taking it easy. It's in the Eagles, kids. Look it up.
Look it up.
And there's another
Emma
one for the
Hayes.
Another one for the Emma in Hayes. There's one. Oh, Adrian. Yeah, fantastic. Really a Tottenham fan, but manages Chelsea.
Lindsay
in Buckingham. That's right, yeah. Oh, lovely to talk to you, Adrian. Yeah, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Actually, my favourite sport is Formula One. Yeah, you know, I make a few quid every time it's on. So, anyway, if you've got another perfect Talk Sport callers list, let's compile it this afternoon, shall we? You want to add to that? And we'll just, talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
It'll help if you've got a little bit of a hello, Adrian, I'm such and such.
Well, you don't have to write that. Surely you can add him to that extent, can't you? I haven't got to expect to write you a
script. I can't ad-lib at all, you know that.
Now, Lewis Gard, he had a bit of a long-term injury for Southend, but he's back, which is good to see. Although they lost the game at the weekend, Southend, he was glad to be back playing. And I thought, well, you know, let's hope it never comes to this, but I thought Lewis Gard, he could maybe have... There could be some TV formats for him that the TalkSport listeners could come up with. So, TalkSport... So, yes, let us know this afternoon. TalkSport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSH&J if you've got some TV formats for Southend's Lewis Gard and your
Fire
callers
guard,
list.
Obviously, with Jeff Brazier.
That'd be perfect, wouldn't it? Yeah. When I go into the cab garage to get the cab fixed, we do elbow to elbow because the mechanic's hands are all covered in muck.
Oh, that's
says
good,
Vin
good,
the cabbie.
Good
so
point,
I've seen
Vin,
that's
yeah.
what they've been saying, the elbow to elbow. Yeah, it just looks a bit... looks a bit weird, looks a bit Masonic, doesn't it? Anything but a handshake.
But in Argentina, everybody, men included, all kiss each other.
Right.
If you meet a man...
Well, that's not going to end the coronavirus, is it?
No, I know, but that is... That is, and it's not two, it's one kiss. If you do two kisses, they don't, if you're bonkers.
But you're a leaper. Anyway, we move on. It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk
suddenly,
Sport.
The music should suddenly spring up.
No, you can't give Becky a chance. You didn't know. They've got a thought processor.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. It was announced earlier on in the day that Soccer Aid would return, as we expected. It's going to be June the 6th at Old Trafford. And joining us now, someone who played in the world side last year, scored a goal, I believe.
Played really well.
Yeah.
He did. Thank Kem, you guys. He's very modest.
You'll know
did.
From Love Island. Kem, good to see you.
It's lovely to see you guys. Really happy to be here.
So it must be great to be playing again. What a buzz it must be. I mean, you were talking off air, you're a pretty decent standard footballer, but to play with a lot of top pros must be, at Old Trafford must be a great
buzz. I'll be honest with you, that I said nothing will ever top that again in my life. Anyone who loves football growing up, you would say, your dream would be to play at a packed out stadium with all your heroes, childhood heroes. Literally, it was. You had John Terry there, everyone. And to do it, I just, honestly, sometimes I have to watch the video back sometimes.
What do you mean every day?
twice a day. Once when I get up, once at night, keep me in a good mood.
And the crowd as well. What was that like, playing in front of a big crowd?
Weirdly, it was I never played in front of a crowd that big before, but because it's like a charity game, everyone's just that happy. There's a lot of kids. I can imagine at a real life game and you've got the fans getting onto you. It's not as easy as that. But yeah, it was just a good atmosphere. And I think actually playing made me realise, obviously, you know, these pros are unbelievable. But I remember in training, just watching Didier Drogba was the one that just blew me away. I just could not believe it. Like, just seeing the way he plays, just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It's always the thing, isn't it? Paul's got this thing about the way they strike the ball. It's just different.
I think that's what blew me away was the way I remember we was doing a shooting drill. Harry Redknapp was taking a shooting drill. And obviously, a lot of us are not pro footballers. Yeah. We're just playing for charity. And you're just playing it into someone. He's laying it off and you're taking a strike edge of the box. And the way he was hitting it, it made a different noise to anyone else. But then Redknapp's having a go at us. He's like, if Didier can do it, why can't I?
Was like, he's got 10 years on you.
Not only 10 years, he's one of the best strikers ever to play, and you expect us to do what he can.
Harry didn't know that you had any kind of football background. You say you played sort of conference prem.
Yeah,
played a decent standard amateur football, didn't you? Semi-pro football.
I was in and out of academy when I was a kid, and then when I become like 18, 19, I was playing conference prem, but I was injured in the lead up to Soccer Aid. I had my knee injury, so I didn't really play a lot of training, and he didn't know I played at all.
Right.
So at half time, he was like, Kim, can you even play football? I was like, I'm all right. He was like, let me stick you on right back. I was like, no, I can't defend now. Stick me somewhere up top. So as soon as I got on, I can't even believe I said it. I said to Cantona, move into the middle, mate. I'm going to go on the right.
To the middle.
But he was exhausted because obviously he weren't that fit. He was like, all right, I'll go in the middle, Kem. I thought, what is this? Bossing Cantona around on the pitch.
I suppose it does get serious, doesn't it? When you're all out there, I mean, it is for charity. It is a bit of fun, but
it's competitive.
It has to be competitive. Otherwise, it wouldn't be great to watch.
It's more competitive than I ever thought it'd be. Mm. I think the lead up is all about raising money for a great cause, which is what it is.
Sure.
And you're all having a laugh in the change rooms. But when it comes down to the day, I forget these guys, they're pros. This is all they know.
Mm.
So they take it as serious as any other game. And like the build up is very, if you're in training and you're not up to scratch, like I remember Robbie Keane was taking all the sessions for us. He was telling us how it needs to be done. And if it's not good enough, then he's going to tell you. So you feel like you've suddenly entered a pro team.
Yeah, no, but that's a good thing. I mean, some of the amateurs, I mean, Mark Wright had a terrific game.
He's great.
He played good standard, didn't he?
I think he's always played a great standard. And like, sometimes I remember he was playing alongside John Terry, and like they were just a partnership they've played for a long time. So when you're coming and you're not a pro, there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
That may be down to John Terry.
I played against Mark in a charity game, and his brother actually, of course, is a pro. And
Millwall.
Mark was very good.
Very good. And, he took,
went off. It was a bit warm and a very hot day. So as he went off, he took off the shirt.
Oh, no.
He loves it.
But then Arge went off and he took off the shirt.
not so good.
Not so much.
Thing is, me and Mark had a little bit of a rivalry there because we both take it seriously. And he's playing left back, I'm playing on the right, and we were just ruffling up against each other the whole time. He's tough. I'd rather someone else mark me than him, but always seems to be Mark.
Yeah, you do. And then, of course, Lee Mack, he's our old mate, Lee Mack. He plays.
He's played before, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he had a very unfortunate thing. He missed a great chance, and then I think he missed the penalty, didn't he, in the shootout?
He missed the sitter just before I scored. Was like, put across to him, literally inside the box, and I think he put it in the stands.
Now, you've got...
did well to reach the stands. Yeah.
A few new faces this year set to play. Tom Davis.
Oh, Tom will be brilliant.
He'll be a unit, yeah, I think it's fair to say. Good. He'll be up for set pieces.
Yeah. Do you know who I was excited about? I met him the other day, Patrice Evra.
Oh, yeah.
And he was saying to me, Kem, I feel fit, I feel good. I was like, can't believe I'm playing Patrice Evra. Old Trafford as well. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And Mo Gilligan, who we interviewed now, I'd imagine Mo's quite a decent footballer.
Yeah, well, he said he plays five-a-side pretty much every week, and me and him are going to do... This is how serious we take it. We're already starting training from now.
Oh, right, really?
From now, yeah. We're going to do some fitness training, go five-a-side, just get the touch back. You've got to take it seriously.
How often then will you kind of meet up to train as a team? Well, that will come just before...
You train on the week, so it's the experience is crazy. Yeah. You go there and you go to the stadium, and every day you do two sessions a day. You do fitness, you do ball work, and it's just taken like a proper pro club. You have all your little chest monitors on.
Yeah, and Clive commentates. Clive does a brilliant job of commentary, because not only does he commentate and run facts on all the pros and all the celebrities, but he also fundraises at the same time, which is not easy when you're commentating.
No.
But I think that's an important side of it. I mean, I often wonder why people, I don't know how, but I couldn't sit there and watch it and think, I'm being entertained here, and not contribute something.
Exactly.
You know, even if you text a fiver or something, you know, because you are being entertained, and it is for a great cause. So it's to be hoped that people do join in that way. And he does quite a lot of fundraising.
Yeah, Clive's great, because at the same time, he's got to talk about the entertainment side and the people that are not from football. And he just seems to know a bit about everyone.
He does a lot of research.
Roberto Carlos is playing again. Is that right? What's it like playing with him? Do you push him out of the way for free kicks?
I didn't see him all week, and then I remember Didier was on FaceTime to someone, and then out of nowhere he goes, I just turned up and I didn't know he's playing. Carlos walked in and I just went dead silent. You know when you see like a hero, you don't know what you're meant to say. He come over and shook my hand, and I was like,
that goal you scored at Toulon was
a bit fluky, wasn't it?
You miss it,
I think,
really.
You just caught the valve. I think you didn't mean that.
What was the most surreal moment was after the game and we won, and everyone, even the pros, were buzzing. And Carlos came up to me, his English weren't great, and he was like, can you sign my shirt? Because everyone was signing each other's shirts. And I said, I don't feel like I should sign your shirt, if I'm honest, mate. I don't feel like I've got the right to sign yours.
So you're carrying a knock last year. So the signs are that you should be even better this year.
Don't put me under
sharper.
Pressure. You're putting a lot of pressure.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me this year. I might have said a lucky game. But I'm going to take it serious, because I love football, and it's a dream come true opportunity to be able to play in that. So why not take it serious? Only once a year, get fit, feel good when you play, and hopefully, there's like, if I can get the feeling of scoring again, it's worth it.
It's back at Old Trafford. Was it the Bridge last year?
It was at the Bridge last year.
So he's going to be in front of even more people.
70, isn't it?
Yeah, 75,000.
And the tickets are half price at the moment. They're £20. I think they're going to sell it out completely like they always do. Hopefully the extra 30,000 isn't more daunting, but you never know.
And Ollie Mears is playing again, isn't he? Ollie, I saw him in the papers yesterday. He's lost a bit of timber, hasn't he? He's been working out a lot, and he had a before and after picture. He didn't have a pair of his old trousers, but he's lost a lot of weight. He's looking very trim.
He had a big operation, that's why he couldn't play last year, I think. And I see him the other day, and he's been taking it really seriously. Yeah. He's feeling fit, and he said he's ready to go. He takes it. I think he owns a football club as well, a local one.
And you get women players. It's a very rare sight to see mixed football, but you do get some really
Kelly
top
Smith and Casey Stoney
women
are playing.
Pros playing as well.
Yeah, we had some great women players last year as well. We had a Brazilian international and an English international, and they were incredible.
Yeah. So tickets wise, as you said, £20 for tickets, but a family of four, that's two adults and two kids, can go for £60.
Yeah.
And the tickets are at soccerade.org.uk, should I say, soccerade.org.uk/. tickets, and you'll be able to get your tickets in advance for that one, because it's always a sellout, isn't it?
Yeah, it always is. And it's a nice day because it's all families there. There's loads of entertainment, singers, and hopefully it's a great show. Another goal, touch wood.
Yeah, never know. Get us in the mood for the Euros. And Usain Bolt, will he be turning out again?
Yeah, Usain will be there. He's a great, for someone that tall, he's a great player.
Yeah, he's got a touch.
He takes it. He was telling us he was training.
He got pace.
Only a little bit. He was telling us he was training with Borussia Dortmund before. I couldn't believe it. With the first team.
Yeah. But he's not quite as good as he says he is.
No, I don't want to insult him. Yeah. He's good, but he's great.
He's good. The one you can just sort of stick it in the space and you know he's going to get there.
Yeah, put it this way, he's a great outlet because, like you said, if you put it into a channel or you put it over the back of the defence, I think he's going to be the first one to get onto it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Making a welcome return to the studio is comedian and Southampton fan Paul McCaffrey. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Paul's a Southampton fan because he's influenced by his manager. He's got the old Ralph Hasenhüttl wetsuit on.
That is an accidental thing, I can assure you. I'm not looking to Hasenhüttl for my style tips.
It's very much his look, isn't it? The kind of black wetsuit look that he goes for. It looks like he is wearing one, minus flippers, obviously. And
sort of sexy wetsuit, isn't it? It's an unusual. Yeah, I've never really thought about it.
And he wears it really tight, doesn't he?
Well, he does.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got the under one that he wears under the diving bell, the whole thing. And
it's slightly sort of Klopp-esque, isn't it?
It's slightly Klopp.
Do you like him with or without beard? I mean,
I don't have a preference.
I think it suits him. I think you should stick. Ralph, if you're listening, I think you should stick with it. It works for me.
Okay.
So you have a new show. Your show Lemon.
That's it. Yeah. So just off out and about. Did it in Edinburgh. I'm just currently sort of
why Lemon?
It's kind of sort of self the descriptive title. I keep getting called a lemon throughout my life. I never had a one word title. You know, you come up with these titles for the Edinburgh Fringe show, and it was the first. I've always quite fancied, and it's sort of, I don't know, rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Lemon.
It does, yeah.
It's a nice bright colour for the posters as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Sort of fresh.
You've got a built-in motif.
Absolutely,
there's a lot going for it.
A sort of Stone Roses. It's a kind of bit of a Britpop kind of.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Actually, it's a very fetching poster. I'm looking at it. It's nice, beautifully done.
Thank you.
Did you design that
yourself?
No.
It's a company called Jigsaw.
Who are based in. It looks like a film.
The only problem with it is that two separate people said, it looks like I'm blind.
I can see that you've got. Yeah, I can see.
For anyone that hasn't seen it, which I'm guessing is everyone, I have my eyes closed in it, and someone quite rightly pointed out that I look like I'm. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's not going to stop anybody coming, is it?
No, absolutely not. No. As long as the jokes are funny, it doesn't matter, does it?
Exactly. It's fairly extensive tour. You're already out, aren't you? So
yes.
Is it Cardiff tomorrow night?
Cardiff tomorrow night, then Bristol, Nottingham. I've already done Birmingham, Aldershot, all the big ones.
And you got, there's some gig cups. Soho Theatre, you've got a
couple in Soho in April.
In April, 21st and 22nd.
So does the tour come around because you did the show in Edinburgh, people saw it and somebody said, this will is worth it, or was it your decision to try?
I went out last year actually because I supported Kevin Bridges on his arena tour.
Oh wow!
So that was quite a good opportunity for sort of. It was quite a unique way to sell a tour. So at the end of my set, a screen would come up, you know, on the big kind of screens that they have there, saying Paul will be back in a couple of months at such and such. So if it had gone well, which it quite often did, people would then be able to buy tickets there and then.
Oh, that's a good idea.
It was good, yeah. So this time I don't have that luxury. So I'm just sort of hoping, so far, touch wood, people have been coming, but you don't have that, you know. They've literally just seen you. Obviously, if a couple is there and they've enjoyed you, they'll be like, oh, should we go and see him? You know.
Yeah. Do you find somebody, you go to gigs and stuff and the support band, they'll get an audience, but they don't, you know, people will drift in or they go to the bar and then they're wondering maybe for the last two songs before the main band come on. We talked to Lloyd Griffith about this because he's done a lot of arena gigs with Jack White.
Yeah.
So, sort of, you know, is it different for comedians? Do you think people are more likely to sit down and watch the support?
I think the mindset's vary from place to place. Some places they just say, oh, excellent, there's another guy. Yeah. Some places I'd say, particularly with Kevin in Glasgow, maybe, you know, there's, you know, yes, their favourite son kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so particularly sort of an English guy. Yeah.
And what's it like from your point? Does that make it harder for you in some ways or not? Was it a challenge?
No, I think it was 9 times out of 10, I'd say they were up for it. Yeah, and, you know, just some nights. You know, in the arena, there'd be like 12,000 people there, and then people were sort of being seated while you're in. And it's not like walking in halfway through a song where you can sort of catch up.
Yeah.
You know, if you miss the setup of a joke
and
you're just walking for the punchline, you'd be like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
But if you've got that many people in the room or near as damn it and one flies, that must be a great feeling.
Oh, this is not Eddie nothing like
it. It's not Eddie Izzard. I once went to an Eddie Izzard gig, and he's brilliant, obviously. But if you miss the first thing he talks about in some way, and everything else goes on to it, you sat there for the next 20 minutes going, I don't get any of this.
Getting on time, and you've paid about 40 quid for a ticket.
I always find that stressful when I'm watching a film in the first sort of 20 minutes. I'm like, right, am I going to miss something here? Yeah. But yeah. So it was really good fun. And that was a great way of doing it. But this time I'm sort of...
Of course, they're here to see you, for goodness sake, this time. So you're not going to get any of that. Now, that would be pretty bad if they sort of drifted out for you and stayed for your support, wouldn't it? At Southampton, how are you feeling about life? Are you safe? Ralph, I think
we're safe.
Bit of a rocket up the backside the other day after that West Ham performance. Said, oh, that was relegation form, but I don't think he really meant it.
I think, you know, it was a bit hairy sort of at the first half of the season particularly. I think we were quite unlucky. I don't think, you know, the results kind of was a reflection of how we were playing. I went to Arsenal, not Highbury anymore, is it? The Emirates, where we drew two each, and we were unlucky not to win that about four or five, you know. So I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's just going to be sort of, you never quite know what's going to happen from one week to the next. That's the only thing, you know, sort of West Ham, I would have expected.
Yeah, they're going to no Ings though on Saturday, was there, really?
No.
From the start, anyway. He's been fantastic, hasn't he?
Incredible.
What a revelation.
He's from Winchester as well, where I'm from. So, I really feel like, I wouldn't say that I'm been pivotal in his success, but I'd like to think. I tell you what, actually, I saw James Ward-Prowse in Sainsbury's.
Oh, did you?
And after that, he went on a little run, and I don't know whether there's...
Just sort of laying eyes on him was enough.
Give him a little nod, and I think he just knew.
Did you have a look in his basket?
I didn't think that would be appropriate.
Oh, blimey, Tim Pilchers.
Skulking around behind him.
I mean, it wouldn't be all Pop-Tarts, would it? No. I mean, it's going to be fresh veg.
I would have thought
there'll be a lot of kale in there.
I should think so,
As a finely honed athlete, you would think.
100%, yeah, I'm surprised I bumped into him, to be honest. I should imagine we populate very different parts of the supermarket.
Did you let on to him, Paul? Did you little nod of recognition?
Absolutely.
One of those, James?
Yeah. Keep up the good work. Yeah, he'd want you to. He'd be disappointed.
Did he say, hello, Paul, how are you, mate?
No, he didn't.
Good luck with the lemon tour.
Swine.
He should have done.
He should do his homework, shouldn't he, before he goes shopping?
He really needs to know who's watching him every Saturday. That's
running to. Now, I see on the Saints website, they're offering the option to be a Southampton away mascot. Did you ever do that as a kid?
I think that ship might have sailed for me.
Andy has got an open. Is it
a good way to plug the tour?
Lee RMI.
Yeah, it would be a good promote the tour.
Pull my sort of
Yeah.
Holding hands with the skipper as you go out on the field, old Pierre, that'd be nice. Yeah, be nice touch, I think. Yeah, could look
all well. Publicity is good publicity and all that. Yeah.
Adult mascots. I mean, even now you get big kids, don't you? So you'll get a small player and you get a big kid.
Yeah.
And the kid's older than the player.
Yeah, that always looks a little bit weird. It was somewhere where they were, we spoke to somebody who was going to be
mascot.
Well,
they do it. So it's a bit of a stag thing at the lower levels of football. So, like, the
is that
stag
right?
do. Yeah, the stag do starts with the, you know, 32 year old bloke or whatever, 28 year old bloke.
Leading
the team out in the conference, having a kick about
that's
with the captain.
Quite a good idea, actually.
Shaking
hands
with the ref. So,
yeah.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, I'll probably leave that, I think.
Just the ridicule. So, but are you playing down your neck of the woods? You're going to be.
I'm going to do Winchester, the Theatre Royal, in October.
Oh, but the homecoming.
The homecoming. Yeah, it's going to be like Main Road, Oasis. So that's October the 3rd, I think. October the 2nd or 3rd. So that's a while off. That's not actually kind of part of this tour, per se.
Okay.
That's kind of like just a one off.
And you'll be up in Edinburgh again?
Yeah. Dreamer, another one word title I've gone for this year. Yeah.
Good,
you're honing that in the build up to Edinburgh, are you?
Well, in theory, yeah. I mean, I should be honing that. I'm yet to sort of fully get stuck into that. But it's going to be based around. Talking of supports, I kind of had a bit of a mad run in with the Libertines December.
Wow.
I was up there doing some gigs in Birmingham, and they were doing a gig at the O2 Academy on the Sunday night, which I had already planned to go to with my friend. And they were staying in the same hotel. Walking past do you know the Norwegian shuffleboard game that they play? It's a bit like ball.
What, the Libertines or people generally?
Well, people generally, and as it transpires, the Libertines. Because as I was walking through, I'd been playing it the night before with one of the other comics, and I said to this guy who was just stood there batting it back and forth, I said, "That's a good game." And I look up, and it was the bassist from the Libertines, John Hassel. I said,
"Really,
all right, mate." Chatting away for sort of 10 minutes, and I just said, "Oh, I'm a comic," and he said, "Oh, have you got a gig tonight?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "All right, do you reckon you could put us on the door?" Pete's a big comedy fan. He likes to do that when they're, yeah, cool. So I thought nothing more of it. Phoned the manager of the club. And then I'm in the green room just before the gig, and he comes in. He goes, "Oh, your mates are outside." So I sort of walk out, and there are the Libertines. Pete Doherty, it was a Christmas gig. He's got a Christmas hat on. And I quite often get compared to Tony Hancock. I've had that comparison quite a lot.
I can see that.
Yeah. And he's a big fan of Tony Hancock. So I kind of have often, as a Libertines fan, thought, I wish he'd get round to seeing me.
Yeah.
Anyway, they watch. He leaves. I was on last, so he left just after my set. I was a bit annoyed because I didn't get the opportunity to sort of chat to him. But the sound guy was like, he was cracking up all the way through. And then on the Sunday, when I'm checking out the hotel that I'd been staying in to move into the other hotel that I was going to be in to go and see them, he's walking down the hill with his two big, like, wolf dogs he's got. And I'm like, all right, because, bloody hell, all right, mate. Starts quoting my bits back to me, word perfectly. He's going, like Tony Hancock. And I was like, oh, I get that quite a lot. Like, couldn't have gone any better.
Yes,
like,
fantastic.
How I've daydreamed it. And he's like, oh, would you be up for getting up and doing a bit at our gig tonight?
Come on.
No.
Blimey.
Yes.
Really? Like, this wasn't a dream. This really happened.
This really happened. So I sort of go backstage.
I'm surprised you'll go, stone me.
Yes. Like. Yeah, absolutely.
Stone me, what a life. And, me, I might have known. Sid James in a mask. That's who it was. It wasn't Pete Doherty. Sid James. I know that voice. Yeah, carry on.
Fast forward an hour, Pete's adamant that I go on and do a bit and introduce them. He's like really sort of like enjoyed my set on the Friday night. So I walk out. I'd kind of had sort of slight apprehensions about this, but like when I went in, they had a poet on in the first half.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, you could do a gig here. This is fine. Let's just say by the time I went out, the atmosphere had
they wanted
changed
the band
slightly.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I went out. I'm like, oh, who's excited for the Libertines? Yeah. Wee. And I'm like, oh, the boys have asked me to come out and do some stand up. Boo!
Oh no!
3,000 like
oh no!
Like, booing the idea of someone doing stand up.
Never mind the jokes.
Yeah, it wasn't like I mean,
at least it wasn't your material. That's
exactly.
What
yeah,
at.
Yeah.
It was you personally.
It was my face. But yeah, so that was quite a mad. That was quite a mad night. So I think that might quite feature.
That might happen to me when I go and see Jose Feliciano.
It might do it. Were
Bex
you seeing
Hill.
Him? Bex Hill. Andy's got a bit of a secret passion for Jose Feliciano.
Yeah, I booked to see him.
That's right.
Yeah, so,
oh, nice.
So I might bump into him in the hotel.
Some sometimes you don't. I remember seeing Ian Dury and the Blockheads one Christmas gig, and sometimes you don't want. We had a kind of punch and Judy show, couple of poets, bloke who came on and fell down a bit.
Yeah.
And then a band called Misty and Roots, a reggae band. They had two bass players. That's it.
Yeah.
They were one bass player wasn't enough. And then they did it, but we thought they'll only do half an hour. And they started to go into about 50 minutes.
Who, Misty and Roots?
Yeah. And they were good, but you could cut the air with a knife because it was like sort of half past 10. And I'm never going to get home. It's like Christmas, day before Christmas Eve or whatever. And then so it was very tense. And one of the musicians went and then he said, "This song's called How Long Do We Have to Suffer?" Somebody in the crowd went, "Too right, mate." And then the can started.
Oh, yeah.
That song, and Ian Dury came on slightly earlier than planned. So how did you beat a retreat, or did you?
Yeah, no, I just sort of.
I didn't put up the backdrop for your tickets, did they?
I don't know if I'd have sold too many that night. I've never been so glad that they were serving beer in plastic cups, to be honest, because there was a few taking flight, but he didn't have the kind of momentum to reach the stage.
Right, look, if you can deal with that, you can deal with anything.
Absolutely. Well, I think they did used to do that. You know, the Clash used to have comics supporting them.
Phil Jupitus used to go on, didn't he, a lot of the gigs, and yeah, you'd have a lot of sort of poets and stuff. Yeah, it was always very good.
John Cooper Clark support the four. I mean, not a...
I saw him support bands back in the day as well. Yeah. What about that? Well, it was a lovely chat. What was it? Half a lager for you. Andy, you want a pint of bitter? Okay, I'll go back to the bar.
So when our chat's dissolving to the pub chat.
It's just a pub chat. But I enjoyed it. Paul, good. Lovely.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
And go and check Paul out. Lemon is the tour. You're on all social media outlets. And we'll get all the details of the
tickets available for Nottingham this week, Bristol, Cardiff. It's a good fun show. Yeah. Lovely to see as many of you there as possible.
Fantastic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, over the years on this show, we have crossed to New York for the headquarters of the World Competitive Eating Association. They take it very seriously.
Well, they're certainly in charge of the Coney Island hot dogs.
In the build-up to the big Coney Island 4th of July World Hot Dog Eating Championship. Over the years, we've talked about all the stars of American competitive eating. Mm. And we've often thought, why doesn't somebody do this?
It's incredibly popular. You've got to treat it properly. They're like ESPN cover it. They treat it like a proper sport.
Yeah.
And we all know it's nonsense, but that gives it something. If you sort of just sent it up, it wouldn't be as fun. But I like the full sporting treatment of it.
Well, the good news is that we now have a British Eating League.
Tremendous.
Craig Harker is the man who's put his head above the parapet.
Good man.
Craig, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Thanks for the call.
This has needed to happen for some time, that we have a British arm, and that we have somebody taking the sport of competitive eating seriously in this country. And you kicked it off, didn't you, with a Jaffa cake eating competition earlier this week. Is that right?
We did, yeah. We had for the first one, I wanted to do something what everyone basically would have in the house. So if they saw the event, they could then go and try it themselves.
Right.
So we went with Jaffa cake, and we gave 3 minutes. And the winner was a lad called Stu Ayler on the first event, and he'd done 36 Jaffa Cakes in 3 minutes.
He's known as Inhaler.
Yeah. I suppose you would need to.
1,600 calories it was in 3 minutes, and a Jaffa Cake every 5 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that for people at home, to be really honest.
There are different techniques in competitive eating. Some of them allow sort of dipping. I mean, you could dip a Jaffa Cake and soften it up.
It does make a difference if you soak it up.
In a bit
it?
Of tea. I mean, a bit of,
water.
There's tactics for all the competitive eating, which is really why I wanted to introduce it as a sport.
Yes.
Because anyone can go and enter an eating competition, like anyone can go and have a game of football, but to become a professional, you need to train for it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping to do with competitive eating.
Well, what other things? I know you're looking at next up, you've got a double chocolate fudge cake.
Double chocolate fudge cake, 14 slices, a whole chocolate fudge cake to one, 3,500 calories.
Right.
The time limit's going to be, I think, 8 minutes we're putting on that. So whoever either clears the plate first or will weigh the cakes at the end and see who's at the most.
Okay. What's drawn you to this then?
Do you do it yourself?
Yeah, well, I've been following it for years, Man vs. Food, the American version of the Major League Eating. And I just absolutely love it. We do food challenges at the pub that I own, but I'm trying to break away from the pub and put this in other venues now.
Right. Really? I mean, would you? You'd love Sonia the Black Widow to come over, or some one of the stars.
Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut, unbelievable. Yeah. But there's a couple I'm speaking to now. Dan Kilkenny over there.
Right.
Who I'm trying to fly over this year.
Wow.
To do a tour of the UK, so we can take them to different events, so people can do a question and answers, and you can see real professional eaters.
Because what's interesting about professional eaters is they're not, as you imagine, look like the Moose or somebody like that. They actually often quite slim people.
Sonia Thomas is nothing of her.
Joey Chestnut, he's not fat at all, he's a biggish lad.
Kobayashi was the one, of course, wasn't he?
Kobayashi,
who dominated the world of hot dog eating for many years. Very slight Japanese guy, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but
there's a lad further north near Newcastle called Kyle Gibson. Young kid, slim, goes to the gym every morning just so he doesn't pile all the weight on by digesting all them calories.
Right.
But he's there every morning training. Just so he doesn't become overweight, so he can stay competitive eating and at the top of his game.
You've started off. You've started off with the sweet. Are you going to go down the savoury route at some point?
If you do tuna and sweet,
there's going to be all sorts on there. So there'll be we've got the double chocolate cake. We're going to run a hot dog competition, a bit like Nathan's in America, on the 4th of July, the same day.
Oh wow!
We'll have a time difference.
Okay.
So we're going to do that. There's going to be a steak eating competition. What's it eating? You know, the list is endless.
You're going to need someone on hand who can do the Heimlich for the old steak eating. All of these, really, ideally, you want to be in a controlled environment where someone, if you do get into a bit of trouble, can help you out, because there is a health and safety aspect to this, of course, isn't there?
Definitely. Well, what I've done is I've started the governing body for competitive eating in the UK, which has never been before.
Mm.
So I've ran the governing body to look over rules for each event to make sure there's a first aider on hand at each event. Depending on what event it is, finding out where the nearest defibrillator is, and just making sure all the events are run safely.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, our own Ian Abrahams, the Moose, you think he'd like, if they did
tuna pizzas,
how many could he go in a minute? We'll try and put it to him.
It's
We will enter him into one of the competitions. We'll keep in touch then. Let us know how things are going, Craig, as you launch events.
Yep, perfect. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
There we are. Craig Harker, the organiser, the godfather.
The Sepp Blatter.
The Dana White of the British Eating League.
We'll call him Sepp Blatter.
You'll look back. That's a bit harsh.
Yes, it probably is.
You'll look back. Can we not make any money from this event?
The British Eating Championships are in Doha.
And the winner is Qatar. I didn't vote for it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. From TalkSport.
Can we have a minute's silence, please, for Mail on Sunday columnist Alex Shulman, who suffered a terrible loss.
Okay.
Yes, I was reading her column on Sunday. She said, "We suffered our first post-Brexit loss. Anna, our wonderful housekeeper, is going home to Romania." Oh, the humanity.
People write stuff like that.
It's amazing.
Put it all in perspective for me.
Very much
too much perspective.
Very much so. They discovered a... You can't carry on.
Did you see that there was a bit of a controversial late equaliser in the game last night between Forest and Borough?
And
he wasn't happy, Woody.
No, he wasn't.
He felt there'd been a foul on the keeper by Lewis Graham.
I haven't seen it, but
Sabri Lamouchi said, Graben never touched the keeper. He disturbed him. sorry I disturbed you, mate. He said, no need for that, Lewis. I just dozed off then. He disturbed him.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
You seen that menu they discovered from 1617? This is the king was visiting Hogton, I think it was Sir Richard Hogton at Hogton Tower.
Wow.
There's not a lot of vegetables in this meal, I have to tell you.
What were they eating at Hogton Tower in 1617?
Pullets, that's young hens.
Bullets?
Bullets. Boiled capon, a cockerel that has been castrated to improve the taste of its flesh.
You are.
I've not.
Okay.
Boiled mutton. Boiled chicken, everything's boiled. It's like that restaurant that Paul Breen Turner once recommended to me in Madrid. Everything was boiled.
Okay, what, do you want it fried?
Much prefer it myself. Roast shoulder of mutton, boiled ducks, roast loin of veal, roast haunch of venison.
Yeah.
It's just my order, mate.
That's right.
Hot pasty.
A hot pasty?
Of venison, yeah.
A pasty?
Yes, of venison.
Wow.
And this is all the first course. Roast turkey, roast swan.
This is the first, blimey.
Chicken pie, roast goose, cold rabbit, Paul Jiggetts, I like his writing.
Paul Jiggetts.
Paul Jiggetts, he's tremendous, isn't he? Yeah. Snipe Pie, Jeremy Snipe Pie.
You're just saying words. These boiled, are names from toast,
boiled breast
aren't they?
Of veal, yeah. Roast capons, yeah. Roast beef, cold tongue pie, boiled sprod. That's a fish.
And these are all the starters, aren't
cold
they?
Roast heron. Yeah. Lovely.
Don't feel the need to do the whole menu, Andy.
I won't.
But I think you get
the idea there. Not a lot of vegetables.
Come back to it.
I'll do the second course tomorrow.
Come back to it, yeah.
And where's this? Oh, this one as well. Chris Court wrote to The Sun today. I've been around to his house. I've retuned his TV. He's now only allowed to watch cycling after this letter.
Okay, right.
Olympian Laura Kenny was so courageous getting back on her bike.
Well, she was.
What
a nasty fall.
It was. After a horrific crash at the World Championship... Omnium. I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
This is the bit that annoys me. Footballers who go to ground at the slightest touch, take note.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that, do you? So why don't just salute Laura without knocking football? So I've gone round, I've retuned his TV, he'll never receive football ever again.
Eurosport is tuned permanently to Eurosport.
Yeah,
he can only watch cycling
on a loop.
We mentioned earlier on that Lewis Gardner made his return to Southend, and we're pleased to see him play football. Should he ever wish to have a career in TV,
yes.
We thought we might have a few TV formats for
him. Oh yeah, we forgot the callers as well.
And Gab Cancello got in touch, he said Horse Guards Parade, the Southend player talks through a procession of floats and acts and does it all with a sore throat. Okay.
Because he's hoarse.
Oh, yeah, that's
a bit
laboured. Sorry, not like you. That wasn't bad, though. Sorry, I sold it short there, yeah. Gab. We appreciate your input, as always. Daz says, caught off guard. Lewis bowls to celebrities to see how many he can get caught off guard.
That's good.
And he also said we were compiling a list of the very best Talk Sport callers to Adrian on Drive. Hello, Adrian. Mick in Hucknall here.
Is that such a place?
Can't afford to go at the games anymore. Money's too tight to mention, says Daz. Adrian in Durham. It's gone Route 1 as Phil in Oxford. Hello, Adrian. It's Terence Trent in Derby. That's from
That's
Tom.
Ridiculous.
Guard it, capital letters IT, with your life. Lewis looks after Pennywise the Clown as he takes him on a tour of the UK. Good. That's Gab Cancello. Thank you, Gab.
Honestly, when I used to have a menswear shop years ago, you'd get something in and it was never going to sell. And it'd often be a lot of money and you think, oh, I hope some muggins comes in and buys this, really.
Yeah.
And that particular item could have been Jordan Pickford's jeans.
They're all the rage, though, Andy.
I imagine a lot
of people, the kids would have seen this. There's pictures today, Jordan Pickford. Congratulations to him. He got married yesterday, his childhood sweetheart.
But they
didn't go for the big, you know, bouncers on the door, helicopters stopping everybody taking pictures and, selling it
quick
to a
registry office job.
Just had a little registry office
Very
job.
Casual. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, the jeans, I mean... First of all, that look's been in and out for years and years. It's not a great look, really.
Okay.
If you want to look at the height of fashion, Harry Styles is the height of fashion.
Really?
I mean, honestly, some of the stuff he wears, even I'm looking at it and thinking, wow, where's that come from? And today he's got a sort of twin set and pearls.
He looked like Barbara Woodhouse.
He did.
I was quite shocked. We know Niall listens to Talk Sport. He's been so bad. even you admit that Barbara Woodhouse, look her up, Niall. You're too young to know who that is. But,
funny, her name came up in Argentina because my friend's got these three dogs.
Do we want to go down the bar? I mean, I just threw it in.
No, Barbara, she's a dog trainer.
She was, about 30 years ago.
And my friend's got these three dogs, and they're massive, these things. He did tell me what they were, German Wolf Shepherds or something. They're like huge.
Oh, yeah.
And they're fabulous dogs. I mean, they're really...
A German Shepherd or are they Irish Wolfhounds?
They're German.
It could be a cross.
And I've got to look it up now. German Wolfhound.
You're on national radio, Andy. Oh, don't feel the need.
Well, you want to know the exact thing. You've made me start it.
Okay. They were big dogs. That's the idea. They were
German short hair pointers.
Oh, okay. That was remarkably quick.
Excuse me.
Okay.
You just do the thing, I can have a cough.
Okay, yes. So what about them?
So anyway...
He's training them.
No, he's not. That's the problem.
Okay.
He doesn't train them. So two of them are quite old and sort of reasonably... But one is a complete mad thing. I mean, it's mad, this dog. Absolutely.
Okay,
bonk, and it goes... And I said to him, you need a bit of Barbara Woodhouse here or our old friend, the dog chinner. I won't go into it.
I think the things have moved on since we talked about the dog chinner.
Training I've ever heard.
Right. Is that it?
Well, no, that could have been it. Yeah, go on. Otherwise, I'll go back to hot pheasant.
Give us two more. You can do two more items from the menu, then I've got to go.
Okay. Roast deer pie and dried tongues.
Lovely. Just some of the things that they were eating in 1611. 17. And you thought Barbara Woodhouse was an old reference.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. How many more items are there on that menu that you could do?
Quite
it goes
a
on
lot.
For quite a lot. Well, we'll do some more tomorrow then.
Yeah, we will. Yeah.
So don't forget to join us, eh? Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow from 1.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.